Carlo, you've come to Alberta from Cincinnati. Could you tell me, first of all, what is it that you left behind?
Well, when I left Cincinnati, I was the Dean of Engineering and Applied Sciences. And I came to Alberta because I saw an opportunity to engage in an activity which would have a much broader societal impact than the work I was able to do previously. The opportunities that were present in Alberta are unparalleled, I believe, than you'd find any place else in the world in terms of the combination of resources, diversity of individuals, and an overall feeling of optimism for the future in which everybody looks at the best days being ahead of them versus being behind them. And this is in stark contrast to what I believe the rest of the world sees. Most of the world seems to be focused on how do they preserve what they have. And in Alberta, I see individuals and I see the community as being, saying, how do we craft the best world for the future? Because the best has yet to come. And I wanted to be part of that.
Well, we're sitting here in the nanotechnology building on the University of Alberta campus, and you're the head of something called the Ingenuity Lab. What is the Ingenuity Lab?
The Ingenuity Lab is a provincial effort that's focused on developing next generation technologies that are focused on solving many of Albertans society's great problems and challenges. It's a program that we're working with a 10 to 15 year horizon in terms of developing of technologies. And the technologies that we're focusing on are not geared towards just developing the technology, but developing technology with a purpose. The purpose of trying to solve the challenges that we all face to make sure that the lives that we have are better, that the lives of our children are better, and the lives for our grandchildren are better.
So the Ingenuity Lab, where does that fit into the overall scheme of things on the nanotechnology front in Alberta? There's NINT, there's also Alberta Innovates Technology Futures. So where do you fit in that?
Well, we work with all those entities. Our focus is on a systems approach. We just don't engage in nanotechnologies. You know, our logo and our efforts are much more focused on systems. So our slogan that we talk about is the power of N. That's nature, nano, and networks. The idea is taking inspiration from the world around us that we live in, the natural world, the use of nanotechnology in the sense of being able to manipulate matter at a smaller scale to achieve a desired function that we want to have, and incorporating that into networks or systems that are able to interact directly with our world at our scale that enable us to solve problems that are at our scale.
So do you have researchers working with you?
We currently have about 35 active researchers on our team, a number of postdocs, professional researchers, and graduate students and undergraduate students who are, again, focused on developing solutions to today's great challenges.
So what might some of those be?
Well, one of the challenges that we're focused on is on water. The ability to maximize the use of water, eliminate the pollution that you would have from industrial operations with water, of extracting out the contaminants that you would find in the water, and doing it efficiently and cost-effectively. The idea of being able to purify water in a way that opens up large areas of irrigation, not only in arid regions, but also in the third world. The idea of being able to purify water cheaply and economically, so waste streams that are coming from industrial processes, we're able to extract the value that's associated with those pollutants and clean the water so we could use them for other sources. The idea of being able to purify water that we use in agriculture, so we're able to remove the pesticides and remove the excess nutrients that result from runoff from our agricultural enterprises, and again, do this in a framework that extracts value out of the process and enables a more environmentally benign world.
Now, one of the specific areas that is top of mind for a lot of people is, for example, from the oil sands tailings. Where is an application there based on some of the systems or the work or research that you're engaged in, your group?
Well, aside from water purification, which again has a direct relationship to tailing ponds, one of the processes that we're developing in is a mechanism of taking out low concentrations of contaminants out of tailing ponds to concentrate them so we can resell them. So the first process that we're looking at is extracting out molybdenum. Molybdenum is found in both the tailing ponds, it's found in copper mines, and it's found in concentrations where it's a pollutant. It's around 500 parts per million or less. But if you're able to concentrate it and sell it, you're able to generate money out of it. So you clean up the environment while at the same time you're generating revenue as associated. You're maximizing the utility of the world that we're living in, and we're not wasting it. The technology that we're using is built on much of the work that was done for the last 15 years on doing targeted drug delivery. We've all heard about targeting individual cancer cells for therapies or being able to image it for diagnostics. With leveraging off of that knowledge base and applying it to industrial pollution, industrial problems, to be able to extract out the small concentrations of elements that are dangerous and are environmentally harmful, and using it now as a mechanism of creating additional value and wealth.
You've just finished showing me a series of videos that the Ingenuity Lab has produced, and actually you've been involved in the production, very hands-on, doing the script writing and editing, being involved in that way. What is the purpose of doing that?
I think there's a lot of misinformation that goes on. Typical news outlets tend to do sound bites, which either oversimplify or overstate activities that are going on. And the purpose of these videos was to begin to get the average individual to look at what the possibilities are for the future. We see a lot of negative things about technology. We see a lot of very centric type of discussions around individual technologies. And I think we forgot the opportunity to believe in making a better world through technology. And so what I like to do is talk about how technology is a tool, if applied appropriately, will allow us to solve many of the great societal challenges and enable us to create a better life for everyone.
Are you taking a philosophical approach or an educational approach to what I see as being a paradigm shift? Would you call it that?
I think there's a large element of thinking that has to occur that hasn't happened in a really long time, in which we've reacted to technology, we've reacted to the problems that we have, and we haven't thought about what it is we want. You know, and what I'm trying to do is recenter the dialogue to get us to what we want. You know, simply, we want to be able to provide great health to all of our families. We want to live in a clean environment. We want to live in an economically prosperous environment. We want to utilize our resources in a way that is responsible and not wasteful. So what I'm trying to do is frame these thoughts around the ability of us to use technology that we have to try and address these issues directly versus hoping that somehow they're going to be addressed through serendipity.
What are some of the things other than the videos that you're doing in order to get that message across?
Well, we've produced a game. It's called Scopy's Nano Adventure. You can download it on iTunes or the Android OS store, and it's a free game that we produced, and it's meant to introduce some of the fundamental concepts of nanotechnology to 5 to 10 year olds. It's a fun game. It's very, very nice, and I think that many people here would just enjoy playing it with their children, and I think the kids by themselves enjoy playing it.
Do you have any other things coming along?
Well, we're in the process of engaging in with some universities to help prepare material that we can insert in classrooms to begin educating our students. We're also looking at teaming with other organizations to make sure that we don't miss the opportunity to get our young people involved in being part of the activity to craft a better future for Albertans.
What support do you have for this message?
Most of the money is coming from the province. We're in the process of teaming with a number of companies to help support individual efforts. You know, as we talk about technologies for the future, many of these technologies will be game changers for the business and industry. So they see a reason of why they want to participate in the development. And it's not often that they get a chance to participate in the development of technologies that's focused on directly improving their global competitiveness, which is one thing that we have to look at the same time reaffirming their social license to engage in the activities that they want to do. And we're providing that opportunity, and by teaming with major corporations, we're getting some very happy involvement by them.
So what you're talking about is very much big picture, but companies and industries always complain about those little gaps along the way. Things aren't going to happen fast enough, or, oh, it's going to take too much money, or what happens in terms of the, you know, commercialization, getting things off the lab bench and into the marketplace. What do you say to that in terms of addressing those gaps?
What I would say is our provincial leadership is working very, very hard to realign the entire Innovate systems to enable a seamless transition and growth of new technologies to the commercial marketplace and their adoption. It's a difficult problem to engage in, and I have been involved closely with a number of senior individuals and officials and helping them craft the opportunity for in doing that. I think the gaps that you're talking about are in the process of being addressed, and I think they will be addressed very effectively.
Now, you said you're also teaching as a professor. What are you focusing on in your teaching and in your own research?
Well, my own personal research is focused on making materials and systems that have embedded life in them. I focus on building next-generation materials that impart an ability to interact with their surrounding environment and exhibit lifelike properties without being alive.
Give me an example.
Yeah, I think an example would be an illustrative example. I mean, probably the best illustrative example would be, look at something like an amoeba, right? We've all seen pictures of these amoeba chasing after bacteria, right, to eat them. They turn left, they turn right, they speed up, they slow down. As they track down this bacteria, then they gobble it up and they eat it when they get it. Well, what's going on there? There's no brain involved. What you got is information exchanged because of the transfer of information to, by the way, molecules interact with one another. We commonly think of chemistry as molecules binding with one another. But at a higher level, what's happening is there's an information exchange associated with those processes. That's the way life works. That's the way they're able to engage in these very, very sophisticated behaviors without having a brain. And so what I am doing is I'm looking at how do I impart that information exchange in the construction of materials so that they exhibit those same properties of acting on information from their environment and responding to that information.
So when you look at the work that you're doing, your own personal research, and then the work with the Ingenuity Lab, and then you have this cluster of nanotechnology efforts going on in Edmonton, in Alberta, where does all of that fit with the rest of the world? Nanotechnology is going on everywhere, so this little piece of the pie that we have, where do we fit in on the global scale?
Well, what we're doing is, with Ingenuity Lab, is we're transitioning from nanotechnology to nanotechnology 2.0. And for the last 15 years, nanotechnology has been focused on understanding how to manipulate matter at the really small scale. And you've all seen pictures of, you know, single molecules being bent or in my case, sticking one molecule on a chip and watching it spin a little rod around, and us being able to put molecules where we wanted to be, when we wanted to be there, to do what we want to do, which is what nanotechnology is. Now what I'm doing is taking it to the next level. We've got a good fundamental grasp on how we move molecules around, how we assemble them, how they interact with one another. Now the question is, how do we get them to move around and create systems? Systems at a scale that we integrate. And that's what we're doing in Ingenuity Lab. We're taking our ability to manipulate matter at a smaller scale, and we're incorporating them into larger scale systems for a purpose. And I think because of the work that we're engaging in Ingenuity Lab, that we're at the forefront globally of applying nanotechnology.
Thank you very much, Carlo.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking with you. And I would invite everybody to go and take a look at our website at ingenuitylab.ca. Thank you.